Today is the second day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we continue to get moved into this brand new month and continue to take our steps forward together around the global campfire. And our step for today leads us back into the book of 2 Samuel and the life of King David, where Absalom's attempt, David's son, his attempt to overthrow his father as the king of Israel has been thwarted. Absalom has died in the battle, and David's in a conflicted position of incredible grief for the loss of his child, his son, while needing to congratulate the army that saved his life and killed his son. So let's pick up the story. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 11 through 20, verse 13. Then David sent Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, to say to the elders of Judah, "Why are you the last ones to welcome back the king into his palace? For I have heard that all Israel is ready. You are my relatives, my own tribe, my own flesh and blood. So why are you the last ones to welcome back the king?" And David told them to tell Amasa, "Since you are my own flesh and blood, like Joab, may God strike me and even kill me if I do not appoint you as commander of my army in his place." Then Amasa convinced all the men of Judah, and they responded unanimously. They sent word to the king, "Return to us and bring back all who are with you." So the king started back to Jerusalem. And when he arrived at the Jordan River, the people of Judah came to Gilgal to meet him and escort him across the river. Shimei, son of Gera, the man from Bahurim in Benjamin, hurried across with the men of Judah to welcome King David. 1,000 other men from the tribe of Benjamin were with him, including Ziba, the chief servant of the house of Saul, and Ziba's 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed down to the Jordan to meet the king. They crossed the shallows of the Jordan to bring the king's household across the river, helping him in every way they could. As the king was about to cross the river, Shimei fell down before him. "My lord, the king, please forgive me," he pleaded. "Forget the terrible thing your servant did when you left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. I know how much I sinned. That is why I have come here today, the very first person in all Israel to greet my lord the king." Then Abishai, son of Zariah, said, "Shimei should die, for he cursed the Lord's anointed king." "Who asked your opinion, you sons of Zariah?" David exclaimed. "Why have you become my adversary today? This is not a day for execution, for today I am once again the king of Israel." Then turning to Shimei, David vowed, "Your life will be spared." Now Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, came down from Jerusalem to meet the king. He had not cared for his feet, trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes since the day the king left Jerusalem. "Why didn't you come with me, Mephibosheth?" the king asked him. Mephibosheth replied, "My lord the king, my servant Ziba deceived me. I told him, 'Saddle my donkey so I can go with the king, for as you know, I am crippled. Ziba has slandered me by saying that I refused to come. But I know that my lord the king is like an angel of God, so do what you think is best. All my relatives and I could expect only death from you, my lord. But instead you have honored me by allowing me to eat at your own table. What more can I ask?" "You've said enough," David replied. "I've decided that you and Ziba will divide your land equally between you." "Give him all of it," Mephibosheth said. "I am content just to have you safely back again, my lord the king." Barzillai of Gilead had come down from Rogalim to escort the king across the Jordan. He was very old, 80 years of age and very wealthy. He was the one who had provided food for the king during his stay in Mahanaim. "Come across with me and live in Jerusalem," the king said to Barzillai. "I will take care of you there." "No," he replied, "I am far too old to go with the king to Jerusalem. I am 80 years old today, and I can no longer enjoy anything. Food and wine are no longer tasty, and I cannot hear the singers as they sing. It would only be a burden to my lord the king. Just to go across the Jordan River with the king is all the honor I need. Then let me return again to die in my own town, where my father and mother are buried. But here is your servant, my son, Kimnam. Let him go with my lord the king and receive whatever you want to give him." "Good," the king agreed. "Kimnam will go with me, and I will help him in any way you would like, and I will do for you anything you want." So all the people crossed the Jordan with the king. After David had blessed Barzillai and kissed him, Barzillai returned to his own home. The king then crossed over to Gilgal, taking Kimham with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel escorted the king on his way. But all the men of Israel complained to the king, "The men of Judah stole the king and didn't give us the honor of helping take you, your household, and all your men across the Jordan." The men of Judah replied, "The king is one of our own kinsmen. Why should this make you angry? We haven't eaten any of the king's food or received any special favors." "But there are 10 tribes in Israel," the others replied. "So we have 10 times as much right to the king as you do. What right do you have to treat us with such contempt? Weren't we the first to speak of bringing him back to be our king again?" The argument continued back and forth, and the men of Judah spoke even more harshly than the men of Israel. There happened to be a troublemaker there named Sheba, son of Bichri, a man from the tribe of Benjamin. Sheba blew a ram's horn and began to chant, "Down with the dynasty of David! We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Come on, you men of Israel, back to your homes." So all the men of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the men of Judah stayed with their king and escorted him from the Jordan River to Jerusalem. When David came to his palace in Jerusalem, he took the 10 concubines he had left to look after the palace and placed them in seclusion. Their needs were provided for, but he no longer slept with them. So each of them lived like a widow until she died. Then the king told Amasa, "Mobilize the army of Judah within 3 days and report back at that time." So Amasa went out to notify Judah, but it took him longer than the time he had been given. Then David said to Abishai, "Sheba, son of Bichri, is going to hurt us more than Absalom did. Quick, take my troops and chase after him before he gets into a fortified town where we can't reach him." So Abishai and Joab, together with the king's bodyguard and all the mighty warriors, set out from Jerusalem to go after Sheba. As they arrived at the great stone in Gibeon, Amasa met them. Joab was wearing his military tunic with a dagger strapped to his belt. As he stepped forward to greet Amasa, he slipped the dagger from its sheath. "How are you, my cousin?" Joab said, and took him by the beard with his right hand as though to kiss him. Amasa didn't notice the dagger in his left hand, and Joab stabbed him in the stomach with it so that his insides gushed out onto the ground. Joab did not need to strike again, and Amasa soon died. Joab and his brother Abishai left him lying there and continued after Sheba. One of Joab's young men shouted to Amasa's troops, "If you are for Joab and David, come and follow Joab." But Amasa lay in his blood in the middle of the road, and Joab's man saw that everyone was stopping to stare at him. So he pulled him off the road into a field and threw a cloak over him. With Amasa's body out of the way, everyone went on with Joab to capture Sheba, son of Bichri. John 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them: fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Psalm 120, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer in far off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. I am tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. Proverbs 16:16-17. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver? The path of the virtuous leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe. Okay, so in today's reading, we finished the Gospel of John, which means that we have finished the portion of Scripture known as the Gospels, which means that if we're checking off our days in the Daily Audio Bible app, we'll get the Gospels badge, and it'll show up for us. We've completed a major portion of Scripture today that took us from the beginning of the year, starting in Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke. And then today, completing the Gospel of John. Now, obviously, the Gospels are the stories of the life of Jesus and his ministry and what he taught and what he did. And so the way that this all comes in for a landing and all comes to a close is a final scene. The final scene we will get with Jesus on earth in his earthly ministry. And it's back in the Galilee. And that's fitting. Like, I've been to Jerusalem many times, and I've been to the Galilee many times, and it's fitting. The Galilee is a beautiful place, serene. It's the place where they came from. So this is where the scene opens and takes place. And Jesus is cooking breakfast in this scene for his friends who have gone back fishing and have fished all night and haven't caught anything, and so they're coming back to shore. And they can't tell who's on the shore, and Jesus calls out, "Did you catch anything?" And they're probably thinking that he wants to buy some fish from them. They've just come in from fishing, but they hadn't caught anything, so they tell him no. And then he tells them, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat," which would ring familiar. They've heard that one before. He told that to them before, and they obey, and all of the fish come in to the boat, like in the net. They're filled once again. And this scene had happened before when he was calling some of these disciples. And he told them to cast their nets on the other side. And they got a haul of fish. And they brought it to the shore and they left it there and followed him. So here, in this last scene in the Gospels, it happens again. Everything that they left to follow Jesus is restored to them in the boats, in the nets. And they come and have breakfast with Jesus. It's beautiful. And Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. And Peter tells him he does. And Jesus tells him to feed my sheep. And he does it again, and Peter answers again, and Jesus says essentially the same thing. And then he does it again, a third time, "Do you love me?" And the Gospel of John tells us this. Peter's hurt at this moment, like his heart is a little bit broken here, that Jesus has to keep asking him. And he tells him, "You know everything. You know everything, so you know whether or not I'm telling you the truth. You know everything, so you know I love you." And Jesus tells him to feed his sheep. And then the very, very last scene leading to the very, very last words of Jesus in the Gospels is really a riveting lesson for all of us that we should not only carry with us today, but we should carry with us from now on. This is the last scene in the Gospels. This is the last story that we get to experience. Jesus tells Peter, essentially, that later in life, he's going to go where he doesn't want to go. And the Gospel of John tells us that he's revealing to Peter that the way he would die. And so, Peter, who has been confessing his love for Jesus, like has been trying to convince Jesus that he does love him, gets this news and then looks over at John, one of the other disciples, the disciple Jesus loves. He looks over at John and says, "What about him? What about him, Lord?" Man, we're in this story all of the sudden. This story of comparison, of comparing ourselves to others' lives and other stories. And Jesus steps right into it, answers the question for Peter, answers it for us with the riveting final words that the Lord says in the Gospels. If I want him to remain here till I come, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Those are the last words of Jesus in the Gospels. And that is a fitting way to send us off through the rest of the story in the New Testament. As we move toward the book of Acts tomorrow, we are left with these words from Jesus, the final words we will hear in the Gospels from him. What is that to you? As for you, follow me. And so may we spend the day pondering and inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal what that is to us that would keep us from following Jesus. And Jesus, we invite you into that. There are any number of distractions, any number of comparisons, any number of issues that can keep us from the path. And we are hearing these final words, and may they echo throughout our day, throughout this week, and may they echo throughout our lives. What is that to you? May we hear you saying that to us every time we reach a junction where we are about to be pulled in a direction that we should not go. May we hear you say, "What is that to you? What is that to you, son? What is that to you, daughter? What is that to you? As for you, follow me." Come, Holy Spirit, into this we pray. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is where you can find out what's happening around here and get connected. So check that out. If you haven't checked it out yet, the Daily Audio Bible app is available for free, and you can download it from whatever app store works with your device. And then from the web or from the app, you can access things like the Daily Audio Bible shop and browse around at resources that are available there for this journey, whether they're things to wear, things to write with, things to write on, things to read and take the journey deeper, things to look at and view and take the journey deeper, or even our Wind Farm coffee and tea line that pairs so nicely with time in the scriptures in community. So you can see all the different varieties, the different places that we've sourced from around the world, whether that be tea or coffee, trying to bring sustainable, high quality into the community, whether that be coffee or tea. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing around the global campfire, knitting ourselves together, orienting ourselves day by day, step by step, to how we should live as it's coming straight out of the Bible, As we listen and examine, if that's life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian, and I love you. And I truly do. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Greetings, Dabbers. This is Emily of Emily and Jim, formerly of Cardiff, now in Swansea, which is a whole prayer request unto itself for God to give us a new mandate from our little house with a view of the entire Swansea Bay. But that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling for my friend Alice Babu, who needs a healing miracle. She is in Bangalore, and I wanted to call a week ago, and Lord, forgive me for not calling sooner, but the Lord showed me today Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give Him, God, no rest till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise of the earth. And I know that's for Israel, but God showed me that I needed to get people praying 24/7 for Alice. How can I do that? Only one place, Daily Audio Bible. So Alice is my friend Deepak, Deepak's wife, and he brought my father to the Lord almost 22 years ago to the day. A day and a half before my dad died. And Alice has stage 2 breast cancer, but she got hepatitis and something else as a result of the chemo. And currently her liver is failing and her kidneys are failing. She's on dialysis and a ventilator. And it is going to take a healing miracle. I do not believe that God wants Alice to die, that it's not time for her to come home. So will you agree with me all over the world for Alice's healing, complete 100% healing in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the Dabbers. I wanted to pray for the son of Lazarus, and I also want to pray for Daniel Johnson Jr.'s friend named Carol. I also want to pray for Center of Hope, a Jesus girl. I want to pray for the one that is going through depression. I want to pray for Easton, and he admitted himself to the mental hospital. I want to pray for him. And I also want to pray for Durham, Jill in Durham, Ireland, for her knees. Gracious Father, we just ask you to touch the names of the one that I call and the names of those that I don't know of. But Lord, I ask you to heal. I ask you to deliver. I ask you to set free. Father, you have your way. In the name of Jesus, you touch Carol. You touch those who are going through with mental problems. You touch in that mental hospital. You touch those that are going through with operations, Father. You have your way. You be in the midst, Lord, and they heal. Lord, you touch those with strongholds, Lord. The stronghold that is holding our back. Lord, kill that spider of desire and knock down the cobwebs of life and give them the victory in your mighty name, Lord. And we'll give you the glory. We thank you for blessing Brian and his family and the people of God. And we just thank you for this broadcast. I just thank you, Lord, for the people that are going through the challenges and that you are delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Have a good day, Deborah. Bye-bye.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible friends. This is Carol from Ohio to Arizona to Colorado to New Mexico and back to Arizona, where I live now and hopefully forever. And I haven't called in a long time. It's probably been a couple of years, but some time ago, maybe 10 years back, when I first started listening to the Daily Audio Bible, I was living in incredible turmoil. My husband had left me. The house was going to foreclosure. I had kidney stones. I had breast cancer surgery and an emergency hysterectomy, and it all happened at once. And I called in to the Daily Audio Bible and the prayers of the saints, my brothers and sisters. It was a miracle how my life unfolded, and I'm now happily married. I mean, the happiest I've ever been in my life. Let me get to the point. The reason I'm calling after all these years of really not really thinking of anything tragic to call about, I'm faced with living with kidney stones right now. Surgery scheduled for June 7th. I was in Vegas on a business trip and had to go to the ER and spend the night in the hospital there where they found a 6-millimeter stone. I hopped on a plane back to Phoenix. A day went by and I was rushed to the ER again and stayed overnight at that hospital, and they found a 10-millimeter kidney stone and they installed a stent. So here I am living with a stent installed inside me, and it is so painful, so, so painful. Please pray that I can hang on and make it through the pain until June 7th, and that on June 7th that the surgeon does a beautiful job and is refreshed and happy when he goes into surgery and makes all the right decisions. And I pray, Lord, that my kidney would be healed up well.
This goes out to Renzo. This is Brother Stewart in Phoenix, the one recently released from the FIFA. I want you to know, I met a lot of people in there, man. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of ugliness. But one thing that a lot of us knew was that you were a light in the midst of the darkness. Some of your messages we heard over the years, the positivity in your persona, and the fact that for such a young man, you are so godly. Never forget your humble beginnings. Never forget that God is always going to be there for you, no matter how dark it is. And never forget we are all praying for you out here. I know whatever you're going through. I know, without a doubt, you're going to get through it. I believe and I trust that God is going to see you through it. For a righteous man will fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked will fall in their calamity and never to rise. Keep your head up, Ringo, out there in Florida. God bless your heart.
Hi, this is Kaz from New York. I'm calling to ask if I'm asking for prayer. And that's not difficult. I mean, it's not so easy to ask for. I'm a doctor. I face some challenges in my second year of residency. I know this is something that no other doctor wants to hear or program director, but I was wrongly dismissed from my residency. And it's been difficult to find one. Just over the past couple of years, it's been very difficult for me. My husband left me last year around this time because he was upset with me for not yet completing residency. And it's been a difficult time, but I know that nothing is impossible for God, and I know that He knows my heart. He knows what giftings He's given me. And I ask that you just join me in prayer and believing that a program director will choose me and that God will set apart the right program for me. I'm pursuing a career in psychiatry as I have a lot of compassion for psychiatric patients. I just pray that you help me. My heart is broken, but I'm strong. I just don't like the carry of this heaviness. Thank you for praying with me as I pray for all of you.